Well, it is a new year, 2011. And as we begin a new year, well, let me ask you one question that's not even related to the message. Can I do that? I want to take a gauge here this morning. How many of you, along with me, how many of you had your lights on all day yesterday? And Hannah did, all right, a few of you, yeah. I'm trying to spread that. Let's keep it. And, you know, we got the decorations up one more Sunday. Yeah, they will be down next Sunday, but I like to keep it going. I don't know about you, but I just get kind of sad when everything comes to an end. It's such a wonderful time of year, albeit very busy and tiring, but a wonderful time of year. And I love Polly the polar bear was up greeting everybody all day yesterday saying, Happy New Year on my street. And there were a few others on my street, so we're trying to spread that. And when we drive by and we see people taking down their decorations yesterday, we just scowled at them out of the window. So they can kind of get the word that, you know, you're supposed to keep it up one more day at least, one more day. So anyway, that has nothing to do with this morning. But as I'm sure you have, I don't encourage people to make New Year's resolutions because how many you know those always get broken and they become a disappointment. And in the Lord, I don't think we want to make resolutions. I think we want to just maybe realign our focus. But we always look back over the year, and whether we do it in a detailed way and we really get down and analyze it, or we just kind of in passing think about the past year. For many, 2010 was a tough year. In our country, 2010 was a tough year. And just let me add this, as you begin to pray in this new year, remember to pray for the new Congress that's sworn in January as they begin their work. And pray that God will speak to those members of both the new class and the old class to hear God's voice and to do God's will. That the Christians will rise up and do and govern by principles of righteousness rather than by principles of opportunity or personal gain. Okay? So just remember that in your prayers. But as you look over the year 2010, it was a tough year for a lot of people. It was a tough year for our nation. I mean, it was a tough year economically. It was a tough year as far as the job market. Very tough. Very tough year. People are still looking for work and not able to find it. And then as I looked, there was a couple emails that came across my desk. One from a very respected man, George Barna, who runs a Christian think tank called the Barna Group Research Center. And he does what some of the other polling groups do for the secular industries, like the Gallup poll. He does what the Gallup poll does, but he does it on Christian themes. And so he did some polling over the year 2010, and it was quite a large sampling. It was well over 1,000, and that's a pretty large sampling when they do a poll. And he has all the statistical data at the end of his research to come up with what he was going to quote, and I'm not going to go into these in depth, I'm just going to read you the bullet points, 6 mega themes that emerged from this past year. They're not really good. The first one is that the Christian church is becoming less theologically literate, meaning there are more and more people that don't know what they believe, and more pastors that don't know what they believe. The second mega theme that came up is that Christians are becoming more ingrown and less outreach-oriented. If you want to know a little key about outreach, talk to Bonnie Williams after the service. She had a revelation during her devotions this morning that was pretty cool. In fact, she could probably come up here and preach this morning because it was so cool. Number 3, growing numbers of people are less interested in spiritual principles and more desirous of how-to methods. If you go to the bookstore, you see that just how to do this, how to do that, how to do this. We don't want to think. We don't want to wait. We don't want to use our mind. We want someone to say, here's the dummy's guide to walking with Christ. They probably wrote one of those, didn't they? They probably did. The dummy's guide to walking with Christ. Number 4, among Christians, interest in participating in community action is escalating. Now, that appears to be a good thing, and we always should be active in our community, but what tends to happen is that when the church loses its focus on preaching the gospel and reaching people for the Lord, they realign and redirect their focus into social activism. And that's what's happening. Number five, the postmodern insistence on tolerance is winning over the Christian church. So this whole thing about being tolerant and just accepting anything and everything and everyone is winning over the church at large. And number six, the influence of Christianity on culture and on individual lives is largely invisible. Wow. That's enough to just say, what's the use? You read things like that. Well, I'm here to give you some good news. That God is greater than all those mega themes this morning. And I want to talk to you about something that I believe is more than a message this morning. It's more of a prophetic charge, I believe, to this church and to our lives. When I was reading and just meditating on the word, I believe the Lord just said, I'm giving you this as a word for 2011. You know, there are teachings in the Bible that you can give, and there are sometimes when God breathes upon a word prophetically and says, this is a word for your life. And I believe he breathed on this word and this message and said, this is a word for your life and for this church for the coming year. And so it has application to your individual life and has application to our lives as we gather together as a body in Christ. And I'm going to give you the message in a nutshell right now. It's enlarge your borders. We're going to understand what that means in a minute. But God wants you to not look at everything that's going wrong and become discouraged. He wants you to look at the possibilities that are found in Him, and He wants you to enlarge your borders. It's not a time to shrink. It's a time to grow. It's not a time to pull back. It's a time to push forward. It's a time to enlarge your borders. I want you to remember those words. Three words. Enlarge your border. The text that the Lord breathed this word is, and the words are right in this text, but most of you know, when you read in the first few chapters of 1 Chronicles, it's very dry. It's all a bunch of genealogy, and how many of you just get up in the morning and say, you know what, I think what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to read all the genealogies, because I always get blessed. Now, you know what? I always read them because I figure that sometimes in there, there's a gem, and there is a gem in 1 Chronicles chapter 2. In fact, all of you know this story because it became very famous as a book that was written by Bruce Wilkinson called The Prayer of Jabez. However, I think that prayer was misunderstood and misapplied. It became a mega marketing sensation because it was easy for anyone to take it and interpret it for their own individual personal gain. And we love that, don't we? I'm getting on my blessing. You know, and you can hear, but how many of you want? I want my blessing. You know, and so I don't think that's what it was talking about. But let's just look at the text. 1 Chronicles 2, 9 to 10. It says this. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Now, can you see where that can become a very exciting, woo! You know, and you've heard, you know, God's not a respecter of persons. So if he blessed Jabez, we can pray that same prayer and get the blessing of God. And And the truth of it is we can. But what was Jabez really praying? Let's take a look. In this dry, endless litany in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 to 10, of genealogies, it wasn't that the writer all of a sudden decides, well, I'm going to talk about Jabez. The Holy Spirit, listen to me very carefully, the Holy Spirit injected these two verses about Jabez. Because we know that the scriptures were written by the Spirit of God, through men moved by the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit had a purpose and a reason for these two verses. In the midst of all the dry genealogies, there's two verses of life that pop out. When we read 1 Chronicles 4, 9 to 10, I'm going to make myself a correction so when I get home I can correct it. We see we have both a reminder and a call. First of all, it's a reminder that the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself mighty on behalf of those whose heart is directed to, surrendered to, and then in the New American Standard Version says whose heart is completely his. Completely his. Now that scripture ends up with a not so good ending. It says, but in this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars. So this was spoken to King Asa of Judah, who didn't trust the Lord at a time of battle against Baasha, king of Israel. He said, hey, let's form an alliance with Ethiopia. And God said, if you would have called on me, I would have helped you. Because I'm always looking to help those whose heart is calling upon me. But in this you've done foolishly. How can Ethiopia help you? And if you think they're your source of help, you're going to have wars. You've been foolish. You should have trusted in me. It's a reminder to keep our eyes on the Lord, to keep our trust in the Lord. And it's a call to believe that God is really, Hebrews 11:6, he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now we can tend, when we go through long, dry periods of struggle, we can tend to forget and we can tend to just kind of like think it's too far out from us that he's really going to reward us. But he will. Because his eyes are looking to and fro over the whole earth to show himself mighty on behalf of those whose heart is completely his. Oh, there's a key there, isn't there? All right. Lessons from the life of Jabez. I want to give you four simple things. First of all, victory or enlarged borders is neither automatic nor instant. Think about this. It's as if his mom and dad named him loser. The name Jabez means sorrow. Every time his mother called his name, she was going, hey, sorrow, come in here and clean up your room. Hey, sorrow, go out there and get some firewood. Hey, sorrow, it's time for dinner. And every time she uttered his name, she was reminding him that he caused her pain. That's not an easy way to grow up, is it? Some of you had similar circumstances with a parent or someone in your family letting you and reminding you that you were not really desired or loved or an accident or... And Jabez, that's the life he was brought into. His mother was both projecting and reinforcing her own disappointment over and over and over again. And not just the mother, but think about when he went to school. Can you imagine if your name was Sorrow? Just put it in English. Sorrow Willauer. Sorrow. You know, can you imagine that? How many remember that song by Johnny Cash, A Boy Named Sue? You know, I mean, it's as bad as that. But the Bible says that we have a choice when we face disappointment. And our choice is to either be overcome or to become an overcomer. And Jabez had a choice. He could have become embittered. He could have become sorrowful. He could have become, oh, woe is me. He could have said, I'm nothing. He could have bought into the lie, but he chose not to. He chose to be an overcomer. And this morning, you can choose to be an overcomer. So victory in large borders is not automatic, nor is it instant. You're not saved, and you don't just stand idly by and expect everything that God has for you just to fall into your lap. You have to press into it. Okay, number two. Victory in large borders begins with honor. The Bible says he was more honorable than his brothers. Here, that kid that was called Sorrow was noted by the Holy Spirit that he was more honorable than all of his brothers. The word honorable in the Hebrew means he was heavy. Doesn't mean he was heavy weight-wise, but he had this weight upon him. And that had the connotation of glory. When glory is the splendor, the weight of God upon us, that glory of splendor, and he had this honor about him. The English word means respected, regarded with esteem. But we get an insight into what this honor was through the Targum. Now, the Targum was the Aramaic translation and commentary on the Hebrew scriptures that were written for the Jews who had been dispersed during the Assyrian and Babylonian captivity, who had lived apart from the Hebrews and had forgotten how to speak Hebrew. They were like a fifth generation Hispanic today. And I had several of his employees, you know, in San Antonio. There's a lot of Hispanics in San Antonio, but a lot of Hispanics in San Antonio don't speak Spanish. Can't even read it. Because they've been fifth, sixth, seventh generation living in San Antonio, and they just forgot it all. So these Jews didn't know how to speak Hebrew. So in the Aramaic tongue, this translation and commentary was written so that they could understand the scriptures that they couldn't read. And the Targum says this in relationship to this verse. It says, I thought this was really, really cool. For the benefit of those Jews, it was written, and he was wiser in the law than all of his brothers. Oh, we get a little key. His honor was that he understood and was pursuing the word of God more than his brothers. So victory begins with honor, and honor begins with seeking God's wisdom. Listen to Proverbs 4:4-10. He also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. Listen, she will bring you honor. Wow. Third point. Victory, or enlarged borders, comes from a life of prayer. It's not automatic. It comes from those who are seeking the Lord. And this is what it says about Jabez. Now Jabez, verse 10a, called on the God of Israel. Victory is fully dependent upon prayer. John Wesley Wisely said, God does nothing but an answer to prayer. Jesus said, I'm leaving, and you'll no longer ask me anything, but everything you ask the Father in my name, he will give you that your joy may be full. Now, we know we need to ask according to the will of God. We're not just singing the song, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? We're praying according to the will of God, but when we do, 1 John 5, 14-15 says He hears us, and when we know He hears us, we know we received the request we made of Him, because He is a loving God that has given us His promises, and He calls us into partnership through prayer. In Jabez's pain, he didn't turn away from the Lord, but he pressed into the Lord through prayer. And the power of prayer is multiplied in what we just did here this morning. It's multiplied in the assembly of God's people. Now, you know what a laser is, don't you? A laser is a bunch of lights brought together into a focal point, and a laser can cut through steel. It's as if when we come together, each one of us has a light, but when we join as the assembly of the saints, the church, the ecclesia, we bring our lights together and they become a laser beam of the power of God released. And if you can study all throughout Scripture, and you will see over and over and over again, 2 Chronicles 7:14 doesn't say, "If my person who is called by my name." And it's all about the temple. It says when you go through times of famine, when you go through times where you are beaten by the enemy, if you'll come to this house, did you hear that? That's what it says. If you'll come to this place, it's not just if my people anywhere, like on the road, you know. It's when you come to this place, if my people who are called by my name, and we come and we come into the assembly of saints, the ecclesia of God, the church, we are coming and gathering in the name of Jesus in agreement, and there's power. Why do you think the enemy tries so diligently to keep people from gathering together with the saints? Because he wants us to live outside of the victory zone. You know, there are times I don't have it all in me, and I can't just live on my own and just say, okay, I need this. I'm going to lay hands on myself. Hi-ya, you know. I need you to lay hands on me. I need you to pray for me. Because God gives His gifts to His church to be used as He wills by His Spirit, but the power is released when there's agreement. Read the book of Acts and see what happened when the church dwelt in unity and in agreement and prayed together with one voice and one heart. Power was released. Wow, so much more I could say about this, but I won't. Just one last thing, the scripture we all know, very familiar. Jesus didn't say, if you ask, if you, singular, ask anything in my name, it'll be given unto you. He says, if two of you agree, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name. And he wasn't just talking about twosies and threesies only. There's power in that, but he was talking about his church. And when he told Jerusalem, the people in Jerusalem, not to go, he said to these 120, he said, don't do anything until you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What did they do for all those days before Pentecost? They were in an upper room praying. We need to be people of prayer. Jabez was a person of prayer. He called on the God of Israel. He didn't just call on any God. He called on the covenant God. He called on the one true God. He called on the living God. He called on the God who could answer prayer. And I want to tell you, that God's still on the throne today. He is our God and our Lord. Enlarged borders comes from a life of prayer. And then enlarged borders comes when we align ourselves with the purposes of God. Verse 10 says, Jabez prayed this, O Lord, will you bless me indeed and enlarge my border, that your hand might be upon me, that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me? And God granted him what he requested. Now, when you just read that, isolated from everything else in the Bible, like the book kind of pulled it out, what you can get this idea is like, well, gosh, Jabez, you know, you just were just looking out for your own little blessing there, weren't you? Bless me indeed. Enlarge my borders. Give me victory, no pain. Yeah, for me, 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 me. That wasn't what Jabez was praying. You have to understand that God had told each and every tribe of Israel to go into their inheritance and to possess the land and dispossess the enemy. the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Philistines, all of those other nations that weren't serving God, God said, go in there and move them out, destroy them, and inhabit the land. This is your inheritance, but you've got to go in and take possession of it. And Jabez, this is what he was praying. Oh God, listen to this. This is very important. God, help me to enter into the inheritance that you have spoken over my life. Did you hear that? He wasn't just willy-nilly just saying, oh God, bless me. Bless me indeed. You know, let it just give me all your goodies, Lord. He was saying from his time of prayer, from his life of surrender, God, this is what I want. I want your will in my life, what you have spoken over my life. I want to press through and inhabit all of it. No doubt he had seen the tribes that weren't doing that. How many know there were a lot of tribes that weren't doing that? They went in, it got a little tough, and so they didn't possess the land. They made a deal. They didn't seek the Lord, and they made a deal with the Gibeonites. They didn't seek the Lord, and they made a deal with this one. They didn't seek the Lord, they made a deal with that one. And then what did those people do? They crept in later on and brought their idols, didn't they? Because the sons and daughters said, ooh, that daughter's cute. Ooh, that son's cute. Don't ever go just for cuteness. Hear me, young lady? Young men, cuteness alone. I got lucky. I got it all. But don't just go for cuteness. But they did. They traded the very glory of God for the image of man. And Jabez no doubt saw this, and as a man of prayer and a man more honorable than all of his other brothers, as a man who was seeking the law, as a man who was seeking the face of God, his cry to God was, Lord, enlarge my borders. I want to enter into everything that you've spoken over my life, but what you've spoken is what I want. Puts a different spin on the prayer of Jabez, doesn't it? It wouldn't have been as popular in the stores if that's the way people were reading it. But I thought about it. Can we just move the clock back a little bit? I thought about it, and let me tell you this. Jabez's prayer was really a short outline. It was the first sample. Again, the Holy Spirit breathed this in the pages of Scripture, and the Holy Spirit breathed this prayer through Jabez, because when we pray according to the will of God, He answers our prayers. And so Jabez couldn't have prayed this prayer if he was just shooting from the hip, could he? It was out of the presence of God and abiding in His presence and abiding in the Word that he prayed this prayer, and God honored his prayer. This was the very prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. I'm just going to give it to you real briefly, and then we'll conclude as we come to the Lord's table to close. Jesus said, pray in this way, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And it says, now Jabez called on the God of Israel. Jesus said, pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jabez prayed, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border. And we have already defined what that means. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jabez prayed, and that your hand, his hand of provision, his hand of protection might be with me. Jesus said, pray this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, the evil one. And Jabez prayed, and that you would keep me from harm, that it might not pain me. What was he saying? The world tells me I'm sorrow, but you tell me I'm joy. Oh, Lord, let me experience your name over me, not the world's. Protect me from the evil one, from the accuser of the brethren. And finally, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And God granted him what he requested. In short, Jabez was seeking to enter in again to the fullness of God's will. It was a life that realized its full potential and fulfilled its full calling of God. Let me tell you, if each one of us pray that prayer with that understanding, God will answer it for each and every one of you. Well, let me conclude. Paul Harvey's now gone home, and I believe he was a man of faith. He's probably up there in the Lord, gathering the angels around him, telling them the rest of the story. So let me give you the Paul Harvey end to the prayer of Jabez. And here's the rest of the story. If you turn back to 1 Chronicles 2:55, you'll read this, and this is very interesting. It says, the families of the scribes who dwelt at Jabez were the Tirathites and the Shimeathites and the Sukathites. Aren't you glad they're not your neighbors? These were the Kenites who came from Hamath, the father of the house of Rechab. Now here's the deal. All around this city that Jabez established. You know, the Bible's not in perfect chronological order. How many of you know that when you read the book of Revelation? And it'll give you a recap, and then it'll go and develop the story again, and it'll go back. And so this man, Jabez, established the territory that God had given him, and all those that gathered around him were scribes. And what did the scribes do? They were the ones who stewarded and copied and transmitted the Word of God for the rest of the people. It became a center of godly men and women who were focused on the ministry of the Word of God in their lives. That's the rest of the story. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? Wow. God gave him what he asked for, and more than he asked for, to the glory of God. So like Jabez, our personal and corporate borders will be enlarged when we have a life of honor, we seek God's wisdom. We have a life of believing prayer, we seek God's face. And we have a life of kingdom purpose, we seek God's will. David, will you come up and pray? And can we have the ushers come up to distribute the elements? We're going to end with communion. We're not going to go far over. And if you will begin to pass out the elements right now, as we need a couple more, one more guy. Mitch, will you help? I didn't know if you had somebody else. I only saw three walk up. Okay. As they're handing out the elements, I want you to think on this. This is what the Lord spoke to me. That is, as we individually and corporately begin to align our lives in a fresh way with the purposes of God, that He is going to not only enlarge our borders as a church, but He's going to enlarge your borders as a person. Because here's the neat thing. When we open ourselves up and we say, Lord, like Jabez, we want you to bless us indeed, meaning we want to enter into all that you have for us, that you have called us to become, that you have called us to enter into. When we do that, brothers and sisters, here's what God does. He not only grants that request, but He grants the overflowing blessing. Last Sunday, we talked about Solomon when he asked for wisdom. And he asked for wisdom and knowledge to rule God's people. And God said, because you asked for this and you didn't ask for riches or for gold or for anything else, I'm not only going to give you wisdom and knowledge, but I'm going to give you the overflowing blessing. But we can't seek the overflowing blessing. We have to seek first the kingdom. We have to align ourselves with the purposes of the kingdom. And so we come to a place in this new year where we all have a choice. And I wanted to end this service with communion because communion reminds us, it's a proclamation of the choice Jesus made. That being in the form of God, he was God in human flesh. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself and he took upon himself the form of a servant. And he willingly went to that old rugged cross. And you know, the pain that Jesus experienced, it wasn't the nailing in his hands. That was probably excruciating and painful. But that wasn't the most painful thing that Jesus experienced. The most painful thing he experienced was the taking on of our sin. And listen to this. Being rejected by God. At that moment in time, when he was all alone on that cross, he became sin so that those of us could become, through faith, righteousness. And when he cried out that cry, my Father, why have you forsaken me? What looked to the world as failure, and what in his humanity looked like the end of everything, it was the victory of him entering into fully the purposes of God for his life. And he broke forever the power of sin and death that's over every one of us apart from Christ. So this morning, without trying to elicit emotion, just with understanding, you have a choice as you come to these elements to say, am I going to live 2011 like Jabez and like Jesus? Or am I going to live it just for myself? So, Lord, we come to these elements and we take the wafer that you have given us that represents your body. When you said, take and eat this. This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. And so take the wafer now and partake of it. And remember that his body was broken. His back was whipped. Nails went through his hands and his feet. A sword pierced his side so that you would not have to experience death and be eternally separated from the Heavenly Father. And now through his body, you have gifts of healing and restoration and provision released from heaven through Christ to you, as you call upon the God of Israel, as you call upon the living God. Now take the cup. And Jesus said, take and drink ye all of it. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is given for you for the remission of sin. Take and drink ye all of it. As often as you eat of this bread and you drink of this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. And so we take the cup, partake of the cup. Lord, this cup represents the blood that's been poured out. That blood that washes our robes whiter than snow, that blood that gives us cleansing and forgiveness. It doesn't just cover our sin, it removes our sin. The blood that gives us victory over the power of the enemy, for they overcame him by the word of their testimony and by the power of the blood of the Lamb. The blood that was placed on the lintel of the doorpost of the children of Israel in that night when the angel of death passed over and preserved them. Because of the blood that gives us access into the most holy place where we can come to find grace and help in time of need. We receive that now in Jesus' name. And Lord, at this point, I can only speak from my heart. But before this body of believers and this crowd of witnesses, I want to proclaim and I want to ask you to help me to enter into fully that which you have called me to inherit, that which you have called me to possess for your kingdom, for your glory, not for mine. Give me the grace, and like Jabez, bless me indeed that I might enter in and fulfill and glorify and give you praise. Bless me indeed that I might overcome the works of the darkness and the power of the enemy, not only in my life and in others' lives that I come in contact with and have the privilege of sharing with and praying for. Bless me indeed that I might give you and you alone all the glory worthy of your name. Now just stand with me, will you? As you stand, if there are altar prayer team members here this morning, I want to invite you to come forward so that at the close we can invite you to come up for prayer and ministry if you need further prayer or ministry this morning. But Lord, help us enter into this new year and enlarge our borders by seeking you with a whole heart, by seeking you with a hungry heart, by seeking you with a sincere heart. Do this in your people and in my life, Lord, I pray. Let us be people of honor, people of prayer, and people of the kingdom. In Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. As you enter this new year, go in the grace, in the love, in the joy, in the power of the Lord, in Jesus' name.